In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we have a tale of murder, but also of birth, of life and of death, and of a way of looking at the life on the earth that is death and a way that is life. We see this constantly in the scriptures, but it's very clear in the life of St. John the Baptist. Of course, St. John was born to be the forerunner. From the time he was in the womb, he knew of Christ, since he leapt in the womb when Mary came into the room, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And he was an ascetical man, a virgin, and fearless, absolutely fearless. And his fearlessness got him in trouble with the world. He was blessed by God for his fearlessness, but the world judged him, and he told Herod that he should not be married to Philip. He had taken, Philip's wife, Salome is the girl, is the dancer, the daughter. And so he was not, should not marry her because Philip was alive. He just took her because he could, because he had enough power to do it. And of course, Herodias wanted to be married to Herod because he was a powerful man, because that was all she was interested in, was power, which is death. Power is a little bit of life on this earth, the appearance of life, but actually death, and then death in the next life. And so John spoke out against this. Now that, from the world's perspective, was foolish, because if you speak out against a king, especially a king who is cruel and unjust, then you're going to be put in prison or killed or tortured or all three. And indeed, John was put in prison for this, but he was not afraid to speak out. Now, there are parallels to our day, and I would hope that you see them. There are always parallels to the day we are living in, but in this day, there's really a lot of fear for people to speak out about things that are manifest truths, whether they be moral truths or just truths about how we should live our lives and how people should be allowed to be free. And there are many people in our day that are afraid to speak out. But John wasn't afraid in his day, and it got him put into prison. But Herod actually liked John. He feared John, because although Herod was an unholy man, full of passions, full of indulgences, full of murders, full of intrigues, full of all kinds of sexual impurities and drunkenness and all the rest, he saw something in John. That should be a lesson for us. We should take note of that, because indeed Herodias wanted to kill him, but Herod wouldn't let that happen. And indeed, St. Mark says, through the voice of St. Peter, that actually Herod would hear him gladly. He'd go into the prison and talk to John. He probably, in his own demented way, loved John, if he was even capable of love. He saw holiness in John, and he was afraid of that holiness. He knew he was not holy. He didn't love John enough in order to not be consumed by his passions. And we should really take note of this. So John was completely consumed by our Lord Jesus Christ and by holiness. And so he was fearless in his preaching and uncompromising in his preaching and uncompromising in the way he lived his life. And Herod was full of all kinds of passions, and therefore, even though he saw holiness in John and feared him, he became consumed by his passions. And eventually, of course, his passions led him to assent to the killing of John, his beheading. And then after that, sometime later, after a short rule, his bowels gushed out. He had a disease that made him basically be eaten from within. And before that, he had a couple of his sons killed, I think, because he didn't want them to rule in his place. He was a nasty, horrible man, and he died in torment. Not so long after this, I'm not sure how many years. If it were 1,000 years, what would it matter? He's in torment now. So we can see a contrast between how we should live our lives. John was fearless. John lived according to purity, according to chastity. And I'm not just talking about the chastity of being a virgin. In Russian, the word for chastity really means more like completeness and wholeness. Not, it doesn't just have a connotation about sexual intercourse. It's about wholeness and completeness and perfection and self-control and courage, because there would be courage if you have self-control. And we'd be able to resist any passion. That's chastity. St. John had chastity, and that chastity made him live according to the truth, even when the truth was not to his immediate advantage. Whereas most people, they live according to the truth except when it is not to their advantage. Perhaps they don't just lie to people here and there. Perhaps they have that ethic that they're not liars. But when they're really troubled by something that they might do or not do, they count the cost. And many people decide that their own safety or their own job or their own having people care about them or having people think highly of them, that those things are more important than the truth. That happens all the time. Remember the story about the blind man? Actually, the man who didn't have eyes, not the one today, but the one who literally didn't have eyes, and the Lord basically made eyeballs for him out of mud and told him to go walk, and of course he came back seeing. His parents were afraid of the Jews. They didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. So they said, well, it looks like, you know, well, yeah, that's our son, but he's of age, let him speak for himself. They didn't have the courage to say, this is a miracle, and you people are acting like reptiles that you don't recognize the miracle. Now, if St. John were there, he would have said something like that, maybe a little more biblical language than that. But he would have rebuked the Jews for not believing in a manifest miracle. But the parents, they were afraid. Now, I ask you, which are we? Are we John? Or are we Herod? Or are we the parents of the blind man? The parents of the blind man, it doesn't mention that they have any great, terrible passions, except for the passion to care about the men rather than God. Herod, of course, was just a terrible, evil man. But he loved John. So there was something in him. It was buried by all of his ugliness, all of his self-indulgence. We must be careful that we are not self-indulgent. How self-indulgent can you be until you no longer have enough courage to do what you need to do in a situation? Do you know that? Do you know that kind of calculus? I can be self-indulgent for half of the month, and then the other half of the month I can be righteous. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. St. John was never self-indulgent. He was always fixed on only one thing, to be the forerunner, to prepare the way of the Lord and make its path straight, and also along the way to rebuke the high and the mighty for their terrible sins, no matter what the consequences. I've told you before that I read the lives of the saints every day, and I make notes about the ones that either formally apostatized and then came back, or ones that really just did things because of great courage and paid the price. And I can't remember right now the name of this particular bishop in Russia, but he knew he was going to be completely just imprisoned or killed, and both was done. If he stood up against the Tsar. But the Tsar was doing something unholy and terrible. So he stood up against the Tsar, and indeed, he was. There was a kind of a robber synod of bishops that were afraid of the Tsar, who rubber stamped him being deposed. It was a lawful deposition in terms of, yes, there was the synod that deposed him, but it was unlawful in that everybody was a coward. And then he was sent away to some monastery in some very, very cold climate. And 2 years later, one of the assassins of the Tsar went and killed him. So his actual ministry was there wasn't much that happened in terms of he didn't rule for very long, and he was forgotten by everyone, but God remembered him. And because God remembered him, he's in the list of the saints. So I pray to this one. And unfortunately, I don't remember his name. God forgive me for not remembering his name. But there are so many that are like St. John, that had the courage to say, this is wrong, this is evil. such as in our day, we should say it is wrong, it is evil to have a false identity. It is wrong, it is evil to be sexually immoral. It is wrong, it is evil to force people to do something that they don't want to do, which is what's happening now as we hear about mandates and everything else. That is intrinsically evil. And who knows if it's going to happen or not? And if it does, are we going to have the courage to act? Some of us will cave in. I'm not saying that necessarily. I will not ever say that if a person takes the vaccine that absolutely positively they have done an evil thing. It's really a personal thing. It's sometimes there are mitigating circumstances or very difficult circumstances that perhaps, let's say, you can't take care of your mother unless you get vaccinated, and your mother needs you. I can't make all those judgments for everyone. But if we make a judgment out of fear, it is absolutely, positively sin. And if we make a judgment out of, well, I'll have to sell my house, it's absolutely sin. Or that, well, I can't have two cars, or maybe I'm going to have to move in with friends, it's absolutely sin. I'll tell you, we own our house. Well, not really, huh? Because we're always paying taxes on it. So it's kind of an illusion that we own our house, because if we stop paying taxes, they take the house. But we don't have a mortgage on our house. And there's two of us. And there's lots of bedrooms. And we could downsize our house, but we're not going to do it. Because I've told Marina that eventually we're going to have people in our house. This year or next. It's going to be filled up. You know, all these donut places around, almost all of them are owned by Koreans. And what they do, God bless them for this. This is amazing. They buy a house, usually with cash, and they have 20 people living in the house. And out of those 20 people, they're running, you know, 6 or 7 donut shops. And they give each other little micro loans, and they make things work. That is how we should live. And that's how we might have to live. Perhaps we won't have the comforts of home. Perhaps not everybody can have a cell phone. Perhaps there'll be a community cell phone. Perhaps, well, we won't have cable. Perhaps a lot of things will happen. But we have to have the courage to be willing to speak the truth no matter what the consequences. Now, anybody who hears this sermon, I'm not saying at all, and I'll reiterate, that just taking the vaccine is a sinful act. But it certainly can be a sinful act. Now, I think it's medically a dangerous act. I think it's very clear the way that things are stamped out, the way that there's censorship and everything else, absolutely positively. And I joked to somebody that as far as the vaccine is, I'm coming completely out of the closet. Absolutely. Before, everybody knew that I wasn't in favor of the vaccine, but I was trying to tread a line, you know. I didn't want anybody to think that I was wearing a tin hat. I wanted people to listen to the gospel that I speak and not just this other thing and say, well, look at him. He's just, you know, he's right wing, whatever. He's a Trumper because he must be for the vaccine, against the vaccine. Well, guess what, brothers and sisters? Trump has completely swallowed the Kool-Aid about the vaccine. So, that doesn't make any sense, but I've heard that slander in the media, and people just swallow it whole like it's some sort of sweet poison. We must have the courage of St. John. So on the day of his beheading, we venerate him. And there's something else we do on the day of his beheading, unlike any other feast day. In fact, the book says, the Menaean, or our Služebnik says, feast and fast. How can you have a feast and a fast at the same time? I mean, when it's Pascha, you eat all foods, right? When it's Nativity, you eat all foods. I suppose if you're Transfiguration in the middle of the fast, you only have fish. But it's not because of the nature of the feast. It's just because it's in the middle of a fasting period. But this is not a fasting period. And yet, today, we are going to fast. And the reason why is in honor of St. John, who lost his head because he was courageous. And we should beg him to help us with our courage, because we certainly need it. Now, courage doesn't come just by saying, God, give me courage, and then you go on and rent a movie or see a movie for free or do whatever you want to do. Well, that's not how you get courage. The way you get courage is with hard work. You get courage by doing your prostrations, by loving your enemy, by saying your prayers, by saying the Psalter. I don't really think anybody can get by without the Psalter, because the Psalter is meat. Saying the Psalter is meat. It's not milk. We need meat. And it's a hard thing to read. That's why everybody should be reading it. And yeah, I talk about it all the time, and that's how important it is. And that's why it's so important to do your prostrations. That's why it's so important to say your prayer rule. That's why it's so important to come to the church services. I think tomorrow I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant. Look how many people are here. I mentioned to Father Nicholas, kind of disturbed him at the moment when I said it because he was concentrating on something else. And I apologize for that. But I said, the health of our parish is not indicated by how many people are here on Sunday. 100 people, 110 people, sometimes more. The health is indicated by how many people are here right now. Saint John the Baptist, the greatest one born of women, according to none less than our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the truth and was unafraid to speak the truth, even when he knew it would cost him his life. And how many of us are here to celebrate the beheading, his entry into eternal life? But the first thing he did in his entry to eternal life was continue to preach. So he was completely obsessed with what is true. He didn't take his ease and his rest after he was beheaded. He wasn't just sitting around drinking ambrosia or whatever. That's what we kids used to think, that for some reason heaven was you're sitting on a cloud drinking ambrosia. And I thought, that's really boring sounding. He went down to Hades and he preached to those in Hades and told them of the coming of the Messiah. He was a dual forerunner. So we must take a lesson from his life and not be afraid. These are terrifying times, because these are times that are showing that things are going to get worse. Absolutely, positively. It's very clear that things are going to get worse. And we saw in the past century how terrible things could be. And if you read the lives of the saints, you can find that, you know, there might be 20 years or 30 years of peace and then a persecution, maybe in just a pocket of a little area. But for that time, for that 20 years of persecution, people would have to hide in the hills and still be found and be tortured because of their faith. And of course, for every one that was tortured, probably there were 10 that gave up. So let's not be among those 10. Let's be among the one. Let's be like St. John the Baptist. Let's not be like Herod and be indulging ourselves. If you're indulging yourself, you're really at risk, extreme risk, because when you are really challenged, you won't be up to it. I told you about a good friend of mine. I've said this before, but it's imprinted on me. I loved him dearly, taught him many things, or thought I taught him many things. But he didn't do those things because he was too self-indulgent. Self-indulgent with cigarettes and with marijuana and with vodka, and later on with benzodiazepines, things to get him by. And when he was really challenged by something, he didn't have any tools. He didn't know how to pray. He didn't know how to seek God. He didn't know how to text me on the phone and say, I'm really, really in trouble right now. Instead, he went into his bedroom and shot himself in the back of the head because he didn't have what it takes when he was really challenged. Is that going to happen to one of you or me? I don't mean necessarily suicide in the physical sense. But what about suicide in the spiritual sense? Are we going to stand for the truth or not? Do all of you know for yourselves exactly what you'll do when you're really tried, when things are really hard? I don't know for myself. That's why I read the lives of the saints. That's why I read the Psalter. That's why I do my prostrations and all the rest, because I want to be ready. You must want to be ready also. So let's listen to St. John's life here, and let's not have compromise in our life. Let's also listen to Herod's life, because you can listen to good and bad. Listen to Herod's life and learn something from it. He was a self-indulgent, self-centered, evil man. And if you have any of those, maybe you don't think you're evil. Maybe you don't think you're self-centered, but maybe you're self-indulgent. If you have any of those, you're really in danger. So let's work on struggling against our sins, not indulging our passions, keeping the fast today for St. John to honor him, and learning to speak the truth, even if the truth is not advantageous to us. May God bless you and help you. Through the prayers of the holy prophet and forerunner and Baptist John, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.